Well, good morning again. So good to have you here with us today. We just want to honor you. Thank you so much for taking your time to come hang out with us on this Sunday before Christmas. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor. For those of you that don't know me, if we haven't had a chance to meet, I hope that before you leave today, we'll get to do that. That just catch me out in the lobby and please come introduce yourself. I see some faces I haven't seen in a while. It'd be great to just shake your hands as well and just kind of catch up. So thank you for just being here. And we've got some good stuff going on. I love the fact that those kids came. And that's my favorite Christmas song. It's really one of my very favorite songs, period, because you think about the significance of Jesus' birth and Mary's role in that. And man, could she have even comprehended all of that as it was unfolding? What an amazing thing. And so we just, I just love that we got a chance to hear that song today. But I don't know about you, but man, my life has been crazy this last month or so. Just, you know, all the stuff that's got to be done for Christmas and trying to plan everything that goes on here and then the home stuff and all that. Man, it has been ridiculous trying to get all the things done. And invariably, you just miss something, right? And so I know already this morning I got a couple Christmas cards. I even walked up to my office and there was a Christmas present waiting, leaned up against my door for me this morning. And I opened it up and it was this really cool Superman 10 sign. And it just, they put my name on it and didn't put theirs. So whoever you are, thank you, because you know the way to my heart. You either get me something Superman or Dallas Cowboys and I'm good. All right. So, or food. Don't forget that one. That one works pretty well as well. But no, it was just awesome to get started here today. And so we've missed out on some things as far as our family goes, just being able to do it. And so got a Christmas card this morning. And so I just got to tell you that we have sent out zero Christmas cards. So if you're thinking, man, I shouldn't have sent that email because it got kicked me off Pastor Ron's Christmas card list. That is not the reason why. No, don't worry about that. It's just that we've been so busy. And so we have something really special for you. You didn't get one mailed to you. You're going to get the live deal. So girls, come on up. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
All right.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Photo ops. All right. All right, go. Oh, all right, that's it. We got to go. All right, sorry. We'll email that out. You can all have one, all right? I'm sure it's worth something nowhere. So anyway, so today we're continuing on with this series because we're trying to pack all this stuff in, and, you know, I know you're all thinking like, man, I got to get out. I got to be at Blue Bay at 12. So I'll do my best, all right? No promises. But in any case, we want to wrap up our series, He Will Be Called Today, as we get ready to celebrate the second greatest event in human history. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. The second greatest? You mean Jesus being born is the second? Absolutely. Jesus dying is the greatest event because of why he died. He died for our sins, to pay the price for our sins so that we could be restored back to God. And so that's the greatest event. But that event doesn't happen without him being born. So we want to celebrate that and we want to talk about that. Christmas is a crazy time, and as we talk about who Jesus is and what he has for us and what he wants to do for us, this whole series has been about bringing who Jesus is right to our front door so that we can acknowledge him and understand that for ourselves and begin a better relationship with him. Because listen, we talked about the wonderful counselor. He came for the sick. You and I are sick, whether we want to admit it or not. We got stuff going on in our lives. We got tough stuff. If we've never begun a relationship with him, we are spiritually sick and we're separated from him. And so he came for the sick. He came so that we could be healed and restored into the relationship with God that we're meant to have. He came as mighty God. He is the one who is in control. He makes things happen, and he keeps things from happening. He is the one who has a will and a plan, and he works it out. He's the everlasting Father who cares about us and loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to comfort us, care for us, be compassionate on us. And then today we're going to talk about the one that I think so many people are missing out, and that's being the Prince of Peace for us. He wants to bring peace into our lives. Because listen, I know your life. You know, I read your emails and your all that stuff. I know where you're at. It's crazy. You life's crazy enough, and then you pile all the things that we put on the Christmas with it, and it's crazy. Just here's for instance, how many of you still have Christmas shopping left to do? Yeah, a bunch of hands. How many of you are going to go Christmas shopping today as soon as this is over? Yeah, see, you're being honest with me. I appreciate that. All right, so here's another one. This is a stressful one here. How many of you are going to re-gift something this year? Come on, you be honest. I've already done it. I'm just telling you. All right? See, you're looking at it all wrong. Regifting is being a good steward of what you have. See, you gotta have the right framework to do this thing, because if you're not going to use it, then you hate it and wouldn't do anything with it. Give it to somebody else. Let them throw it away, okay? So let them be the bad steward. But the reality is there's a lot of pressure that comes with Christmas time, and so we need to be able to come into our lives and be able to recognize who Jesus is. Here's one for all of us. How many of you have something in your life that you want to see changed in 2015? I know if we're being honest in the room, I think every hand would go up, because there's something better that we want to see for ourselves. And we look at our lives and things are crazy and nuts, and they're just going crazy, absolutely bonkers. And let me tell you that 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a very tumultuous time going on as well, a time where things were out of control. And the prophet Isaiah came with a word that was for those people, and I believe it's one that will resonate with us as well today. Here's what he says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and I hope in this next few minutes that we have together that by the time that this is over and you walk out these doors, that you'll recognize the Prince of Peace, the peace that Jesus brings, and why he brings it and how he brings it. That's what I want to see for you today and for myself as well. I remember as a kid growing up, going to Christmas service, and there would be this special service, you know, and we'd go, and we would sing these very soft, mellow Christmas hymns. We would come, and we would, you know, there would be these very solemn prayers and maybe a cute little nativity scene that was, you know, still and silent, but could speak volumes, but it was still, everything was so peaceful. You know, we would light a candle, and we would hold it up, and we would sing the first, second, and fourth verse of O Holy Night, because, you know, you can't sing the third. So you got to sing those, and it would be really just this peaceful moment, right? And so then we would leave, and that would be, you know, the picture of Christmas. And as a kid, that's what I thought Christmas was all about. I grew up that way, that this birth of this baby was this great peaceful moment in history. And then about 12 years ago, I found myself in the delivery room. And I realized there couldn't have been nothing peaceful about that moment, right? You know, how many of your parents, you know, you've been in the delivery room, you know there's nothing peaceful about the birth of a child. You know, thank God for epidurals. You know, I don't know how people get through without them. You know, I hear they're pretty good for the wife too, but you know, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how they make it through that thing without them. Because it's an amazing, just crazy time where, you know, you're screaming and hollering. I mean, I thought I was going to lose digits on my hand from Kelly squeezing it so hard, you know? And, well, that's what you think. But anyway, so anyway, you called me a couple of things. But anyway, we can't talk about that. Hopefully you've repented of that. So there's nothing peaceful about those moments. And you think about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, being born into the world. And we have this really quiet, calm picture of it. But you know the amazing thing about the delivery of a child? It's crazy and just, you know, wild before. But the moment that baby comes in, everything changes, doesn't it? That everything becomes peaceful. You know, and I believe that's the way it was with Jesus. It was a hectic time, but once he entered into the world, things changed. In fact, let me just show you kind of what that looked like.
Joseph, the child is pressing.
The child? Now?
Now.
Yes. We're very close.
Bethlehem.
We will find a place. I promise. What do we do? Is there a place for my wife and me to stay?
I'm sorry. There is no room here.
I love Joseph's face as he lifts the baby Jesus. It's like, holy cow, you know, or, well, holy baby, holy Jesus, I guess. But anyway, you think about that, like that wasn't my face. My face was like, oh my gosh, it's real, you know. So anyway, but I love that picture of the stress of the whole moment, that in just seconds, everything calmed and everything came down. The presence of Jesus brought a peace to that moment. Now listen, don't let it fool you, because the world still wasn't peaceful. There was still a lot of hectic, crazy stuff going on. King Herod, man, he'd heard about this prophecy of this baby that was going to come and rise up and overthrow him. And so he goes and he murders all the children to and under in the land. And I mean, this was not the peace in the picture that we like to see. But the reality is that Jesus came, and the peace that he was going to bring was not the peace that everybody was looking for. It was going to be something way more significant than that. And as we look on into the scriptures following up after the birth, we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, an amazing event that happens here. And it's an angel that appears to the shepherds. Here's what the angel said. It said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now listen. You know, the part about whom he is pleased is the people, those who would acknowledge his son, those who had a relationship with him, those who acknowledge him for who he was. That peace would come, and not everybody would experience it, just like today. Jesus is born. He's the Prince of Peace. And so we fast forward. We see then that things were crazy. The peace didn't always come. But listen, look at our world today. Fast forward. Just think about the church itself. Just within the church, we think about marriages. Marriages are under attack, aren't they? Things are crazy when it comes to looking at marriages. You got a believer in Christ married to a believer in Christ, and you think, well, everything should be really good then, right? You know, but the reality is it's not. The Christian marriage is under attack just like any other marriage. There are forces working to destroy marriages, and people are just saying, you know what, okay. And we're letting it see, where's the peace in the Christian marriage? There are those who we know that are just financially just stressed out to the max. Think about it. We make more now than we've ever made before. Think about how much more we make than our parents made when they were at our place. But yet there's such a financial stress in our society that we can't even stand ourselves, right? We've got credit card debt. We've got all this stuff. We've got craziness going on. But yet we should be pretty well blessed. Where's the peace? There's the relational tension that's going on in our world. Listen, you can't go to the mall parking lot without somebody flipping you off and getting mad at you because they thought that space should have been theirs, even though they were like two blocks away, you know? You think about the things that are going on. You got children being stabbed in school. You've got officers being shot. You've got officers shooting people. You've got people doing all kinds of things. You've got riots. You've got all of this stuff. The relational tension is out of control in our society. Where's the peace that Jesus came to bring? If he is the Prince of Peace, did he fail? Now, hold on a second. Before you start throwing me out of here, I'm not being heretical. I'm not bringing something there. It's a thought. Is the fact that we have such a peaceless society, is that a symbol of Jesus' failure? I mean, the angel came, said, "Peace on earth," right? So where's the peace? Where's Jesus? We think of Christmas being this peaceful time, but where is he the rest of the year? See, ultimately, it's not that Jesus failed at bringing peace. Ultimately, we fail at defining peace. And we need to begin to look at that differently so that we can come to a place of understanding it. You see, there's been a thing where we've always looked at peace being what's good for us and what makes us feel good. Let me just kind of define that for you. That's happy. All right? You've heard my spiels on happy. You know, it's not about being happy. It is about being joyful and peaceful. And those are two completely different things. Joy and peace is when we can look at our situations and the world falling around all over the place around us, and we can still know that God's in charge and that he has our best interests at heart. Happy means that we feel good for a little while, but that's going to fade away as soon as our circumstances get a little tougher than we like it. And that's where we spend most of our time. And so today we want to talk about this peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When we look at the Hebrew, we find that that's called the Sar Shalom. It comes from two words, Sar. Sar means that it's a one in charge, the Lord, the chief, the general. It's the one who's in charge. That word Sar would later become Czar, C-Z-A-R, and it would become Caesar. It would be the one in charge, the leader, the chief. And then the word Shalom. Shalom means rest or tranquility, completeness, wholeness. It's this word that is often used as a greeting for someone, wishing peace and tranquility on someone else. But you put Sar Shalom together, and now you have the one who's in charge of peace, the one who's in charge of rest, the chief of tranquility. You have the general of wholeness. You have the Lord of completeness. And when we look at peace, we've tried to look at it as something that makes us feel good, but the reality is peace is something that makes us whole, something we experience because we've experienced something much greater. Jesus was the Sar Shalom, the one in charge of the peace, the one, he's the captain of rest, the Lord of tranquility, the chief of contentment. That's who Jesus is. And as long as we're under him, we are able to have peace. And let me just say, can we lie? Can we tell a bold-faced lie, come to church, and have peace? Hello? No, right? Why not? Because we're not supposed to lie, right? Can a couple have a big old hairy argument on the way to church? And, you know, one of those just throwing insults back and forth at each other and talking about how they wish they'd never gotten married to each other and bouncing around the D word, you know, and all of that stuff between them in front of their kids, being a terrible example for their kids. Can they come to church that way and have peace? No. No, there's no way to do that because you're not under the covering of Jesus, because you've stepped out, because you've chosen to do things your way and not be under the control of the one who has peace. Can a person go out and spend all of their money and charge up their credit cards for Christmas and just put themselves in a financial hole and then have peace? No. Why? Because we're not being good stewards. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to go blow everything that we have on just a bunch of gifts so we can feel like our kids will love us a little bit more because we gave them the Frozen dolls, okay? You know, it's going to be under my tree. I get it. Maybe, you know, you just got to do it. I told you the other day, you don't get your kids Frozen stuff, you go to hell. That's what I believe is, you know. So anyway, the reality is, listen, we do all kinds of things, but there's no way when we do that to be able to then have the peace of God in our lives because we've put ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be. Listen, let me just tell you, if you did that, January's coming, and your Visa card bill is going to come, and you have to pay it, okay? Just want to let you know, don't be surprised, it's coming. But if you did that, how in the world can you think about having peace? Because you've done something that you know is just not going to line up with who he wants you to be. See, Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the one in charge of contentment and of peace. And so we need to understand that that's what he's come to bring us, a completeness, a wholeness, tranquility, and rest. We need to understand that we're supposed to be under him to be able to receive that. When we begin a relationship with him, we are able to come under that because we begin to follow him and we have the opportunity to have that kind of covering under us or over us, that we're able to be under him. But what happens is we often want to step out from under that covering and do things our own way. You know how that works? Let me just show you. Here's how it works. When it's raining, what do? You can participate. I'm not going to, you can't, surely you can't get that wrong, right? We get under an umbrella, right? If it's raining outside, you want to get an umbrella. Why do you get an umbrella when it rains? This is really easy. Yeah, because you won't get wet, right? It protects you from the rain. So if I'm under the umbrella, then I'm not going to get wet. But what happens when I decide that, you know what? I'm tough. I can handle this. I can do this on my own. You just keep that umbrella over there. What's going to happen? I'm going to get soaking wet, aren't I? My shirt's going to get all wet. It's going to be stuck to me, and I won't be able to move in it. You know, my pants are going to get all wet, and then when I walk in, I'm going to get all galled and have to walk like I've been riding a horse all day. And, you know, and all that stuff, you know, feet all soggy and dried up, you know, wrinkled up and all that stuff. But because I've chosen to get out from under the umbrella, the covering that's been provided for me. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the peace that comes in and he takes things and allows us to have this tranquility, this rest, this wholeness, this completeness. Does that mean things won't ever go wrong in your life? No, because it's life, y'all. That's part of the definition, I think. You know, it's just things are just not going to go smooth. But the reality is when it rains, when life is rain, then I got a covering over me that's going to protect me and allow me to experience that. Even though my feet may get wet, listen, the rest of me stays pretty well dry. The reality is Jesus is that covering that comes to protect us and to be over us. But we like to step out from under it. I think we like getting wet sometimes, and then what do? We go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, what in the world? Why'd you let me get wet? I can't believe you would let me get soaking wet like that. It's, you know, what's up? And the reality is, it's like, hey, I didn't let you get wet. You stepped out and chose to do it on your own. And so we need to look at this thing totally different than we've been looking at it. We've been wanting to do this thing our way and then think that we're just going to stay nice and dry. But listen, Jesus is there to bring us something that will keep us from experiencing that part of the toughest things of life. That though we may experience them, we may still go through them, that we can go through them with this covering protecting us and keeping us at a place that he wants us to be. What does all that mean for our everyday life? Well, what does that mean for us as we live it out? What is this Prince of Peace, this covering that he puts us, this Sar Shalom? Well, let me give you a couple things that are going to help us to be able to remember this, and I believe live differently, to experience this Christmas different, and guess what? Experience January and February and March and all of them differently than we ever have before. Here's two things. Number one, the Sar Shalom. He's the peace who comforts you. If you're taking notes, you may want to write that down. He's the peace who comforts you. Some of you right now, your life is going haywire. You know, I know, you know, we talk and, you know, different things, but even if you haven't told me, I don't have to, I can take a pretty good guess. Most of us, that's just the way life is. Things are going nuts and things are out of control and you're looking at it like, what in the world? Where's the comfort? Where's the peace? Well, listen to what Jesus said to understand where the peace is. John 14:27, he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Listen, here's the thing. Jesus came to give us peace. Whose peace is it? Who owns the peace? Who's the chief of peace? It's Jesus, right? Come on, even if you're wrong, it's okay. You know, you're not going to fail you. I'll flunk you out of here, you know? You know, so it's okay. But the reality is that it's Jesus' peace, and he gives it to us. He says, I give it to you, not like the world gives, but I give it to you like I give. See, the world will give you something, and it will dress it up, and it will make it all shiny, and it will make it all pretty for you. But listen, it will be covered up. It will be that prettiness. You uncover it, there's usually a bunch of junk underneath it. The world will bring it to you and say, here it goes. You know, you really want this. This is going to make everything much better in your life. And the truth is, it's going to pull the rug right out from under us. That's what it likes to do to us. But the truth is that Jesus comes and says, listen, I don't come give it to you like the world. I come to give it to you. And if I give it to you, it's yours. You just got to live underneath of it. You got to choose whether you're going to allow it to be all that I want it to be in your life. He's the peace. He's the one that's in charge of it, and he gives us his peace. Let me try to draw a picture for you here. Listen, I don't have a concealed carry gun permit. In fact, I don't even own a gun, all right? So I know I'm losing some cool points with some of you good old boys out there. But listen, hold on. All right, hold on. So what I've asked for my birthday is my concealed carry permit, and hopefully, you know, it'll be a gun with that and everything, because I think everybody should be able to own one if they want to own one, all right? within reason. But so that just lost, now the rest of y'all lost points with you that are on that side of the fence. But the reality is, it's all right, okay? So I'm good with that, and you don't send me any emails. I don't argue about it. So if you don't want a gun, don't buy one, okay? But the reality is when I'm with some friends of mine, though, who do have their concealed carry and are carrying, guess what? I feel a little bit safer. I got a little bit more peace when I'm walking with them when they got their peace, right? You see what I'm saying? I feel a little bit better hanging out with them than I do by myself not having one. Because if something goes wrong, I'm ready, okay? I'm ducking and I'm hoping they're pulling, okay? That's all I know. So the reality is that when we're around those people, we feel much better. And here's the truth. When we're with Jesus, we need to understand that he has the peace. And we should feel much safer with him, knowing that he does have that. That should be motivation in itself just to have, to make sure that our relationship is where it needs to be with him. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, we shouldn't have a relationship so we get things that we want. But the reality is, if we want to live the life that Jesus said that he wants us to have, because he gives us peace and wants us to have it, then we should be willing to have that kind of relationship with him to be able to experience all that he has for us. We need to be able to experience that with him. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, Ron, I just don't have that peace. I had lunch with a friend this week, and he said, listen, I'm happy, but I'm not joyful. Things are good, but I don't have peace. What does that look like for us? Because listen, here's the reality. When we have peace, there is something that Jesus says that we should be able to do. There's something that the Bible tells us that we should be able to do if we have peace, if we have a relationship with him, because of how we can approach the things that go on in our lives. We've been trying to solve things on our own. We've been trying to make peace happen. We've been trying to make all these things happen. But listen to what the scripture says in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that means petition, that means by coming and bringing it to him with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when we're out from under the covering, we're trying to cope with this stuff on our own. We're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to make it happen the way that we want it to happen, and it doesn't work that way. But when we have that relationship with him, when we bring those things to him, when we're thankful for the things that he's done in our lives, when we acknowledge him for being mighty God, being everlasting Father, he says then we can come to him, and the peace that passes all understanding will be given to us. Let me just tell you, the night that my mom passed away was a difficult night, and it was just tough from the start of where things were heading, and it was pretty clear where it was going to end that night, whether it was that night or the next day or whenever it was coming, and I just remember being at a place where I felt like I didn't have peace. I was struggling with this whole thing because, man, that was my mom. I loved her, and quite honestly, I didn't get to tell her that night before she got in the ambulance that I loved her, because I thought everything will be fine. I'll see her at the hospital, be good to go. And I didn't tell her. But the reality is, I get there that night and she had lost consciousness and just had gone without oxygen and different things. And so that night was not peaceful. Now, just to tell you, I mean, you know, as I watched my mom lay there, she was having convulsions. She was just not peaceful because of the damage that had been done. It was tough. It's one of the hardest things I've ever seen in my life. And I was struggling so bad with it. And I remember going, and I went down the hallway in the hospital all by myself, and I just began to pray. And I began to just acknowledge God for who he was. I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing it, but I know that you're in charge, and I'm so thankful that you know what's going on, because I can't handle this. And being able to go to him and just acknowledge him, being thankful that he's there and in control, but just knowing that, man, I couldn't deal with it. And I remember just saying, God, whether she lives or she dies, I'm going to praise you because you're still God and you still know what's up, and I don't. And so that night, listen, I had a peace come over me that I can't explain to you. I wish I could. I wish I could. For some of you that are going through difficult things, I wish I could say, and some of you have experienced it, and many of you have, but the reality is that peace didn't come from Ron. It didn't even come from Ron being a pastor. It didn't come from Ron being anything special. It just came from me having a relationship with God and being able to trust him and take that peace that he had for me. And so for you, that's where you need to find yourself. If you're struggling and you don't have that peace, you've got to come to a place of recognizing who he is and what he wants for you. And then you can experience that kind of peace. Does that mean that I don't still miss my mom? Absolutely not. Does that mean I don't cry sometimes when I think about my mom? Because this is tough. She loved Christmas. And this is a tough time of year for many of you as well. But the reality is there's a peace there that allows me to trust him and to know that he's in charge. See, the thing that I've come to realize is we don't know how good life is until we realize how tough life is. You can't acknowledge how good God is until you acknowledge God in the most difficult times of your life and allow him to be the one who brings you through it. Listen, Jesus came so that you and I could experience peace. Because he is the Sar Shalom. He is the one who brings peace and the one who comforts us. The second thing that the Sar Shalom does, he brings a peace that saves us. He is the peace who saves you. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, by faith, you're justified. Does that say by our good works? Does that say by all the good things we do at church that we have peace and we that's how we get it? No. Is it by how much we give to the church that gives us the peace? No. Is it just how good we are that we never cuss, drink, or smoke, or hang out with women that do? No. It's not about any of that. It's about that we have a relationship with the one who came to save us, that we have a faith to believe that he is who he said he is and that he will do the things that he says he will do and that he will be there at all times just like he said he would be. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who brings peace with God. We don't get it from anything else that we do. Maybe you're here today wondering, man, I've just done too much. I know that there's just too much stuff I've done in my life, and there's no way God's going to ever accept me. There's no way that he's ever going to do it. Listen, some of you are thinking that if you walked in church today that the place was going to fall in on you. I get that. Been there, done that. Guess what? It didn't, because he's faithful, and he knew you would be here today, and he knew what message you would hear, and you need to hear the fact that there's nothing that you can do to separate you from him. He is there. Jesus is the one who came to bring you peace in your life. The only thing that you can do to separate you from all of eternity is to reject him with your last breath. As you need to know, there will be a time where that will happen. But the truth is, while you're here, while you have breath, you have an opportunity to begin that relationship with him, to acknowledge his son Jesus, who came to pay the price for our sins. He died on a cross, giving his life, spilling his blood for that. And he was buried in a tomb. He was raised on the third day so that we could be forgiven through his death and that we could spend eternity with him through his resurrection. And you and I both have had multiple opportunities. Some of us have accepted that. Maybe some of us here today haven't. But this is another opportunity to do that. He has brought peace. And if you're here today, you need to know that peace is available to you now. I love the way Ray Comfort sets up this whole idea of who he's there for, and it kind of goes like this. So listen, you all have to participate, okay? If we don't all participate, this doesn't work. All right, everybody with me? Say yes. All right, so here it is. If you've ever told a lie, raise your hand. Yeah, if some of you didn't raise your hand, you better get it up, because you just did. All right, so listen, so we're all liars, right? We agree? Yeah. All right. So how many of you, let's think about this. How many of you have ever stolen something before? Come on, you got that pen in your pocketbook. I know it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, all right. So we're all a bunch of thieves, aren't we? How many of you ever looked at something, someone lustfully other than your spouse? Listen, I looked at a Chevy pickup this week. I had to confess because I looked at it like I shouldn't look at a truck, I think. So listen, so here's the deal. We're all a bunch of liars, a bunch of thieves, and a bunch of adulterers, aren't we? Here's the amazing thing. If God was to hold us all accountable up against the Ten Commandments, guess what? We're all guilty. Guilty, 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 right? We're all guilty. That's why Christmas is so important. You need to understand that Christmas is not about a baby being born. This was about a Savior coming, leaving heaven, coming to earth, so that you and I could have an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and restored into the relationship with God that we were created to have all along. It's much more than just the tree and the gifts and the bows and the fat guy in the red suit. It's more than that. It's about Jesus the Savior coming to earth to save us. He came to comfort us. He came to heal us. He came to be our God who's in control. He came to be our Father who's compassionate and caring and loves us. And he came to save us. And so today you need to understand that if you're here and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus through understanding his death was for your sins, that his resurrection was for your eternal life to spend with him, then let me just tell you, Christmas, you've not experienced Christmas yet. You've not experienced it like you could. And maybe you've made that decision, but Christmas has become way more routine and way more about just getting through it and all of that stuff. Let me tell you, my prayer for you, and I've been praying it all month long as we've been in this series, is not that you know, people would come up and pat me on the back and say, man, that was a great message. Great job. That's cool if you want to do it, but that's not been my prayer. My prayer hasn't been that, you know what, people will post a bunch of stuff on Facebook about it. I mean, that's fine if you want to do that. That's great. Here's my prayer, that when we come down to this day, when we get here in this room and we begin to think about who Jesus really is, that we experience a change like we've never experienced before. That we become somebody that we've never thought was possible to be. There's something about being forgiven and set free. You take a guy and put him in prison, And if he's repentant, he gets what you bring him out, man, he's a different guy. You can take some guys, though, you put them in prison, they can pretend like they didn't do anything wrong, and you bring them out, and they're just the same. But if you've been saved and you recognize who Jesus really is, let me tell you, you'll never be the same again. And so today is your opportunity to experience Christmas like you've never experienced it before. And that's forgiven and set free, with a life that is open and available to be used, covered with peace, covered with the Counselor, covered with the Mighty God, covered with the Everlasting Father. And so in these moments, I need you to stop and think. I need you to think about where you are in your life. I know things are tough. I know maybe, you know what, maybe she's not the woman you married all those years ago. You probably aren't that guy she married either. You know what? Maybe there were things in your past that were pretty fun to do. Listen, I can tell you with Jesus, there's still a lot of things that are fun to do. And you can even answer your phone in church, and it's okay. Better yet, can I answer it? That would be so cool. Like, why aren't you at church yet? You know, they're here. No, anyway, just so you know, that was Satan using your phone, whoever that was. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, I know what you're thinking, if I'd have ended on time, that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, so I get you. Here's the truth. Where are you today? Where are you in your relationship with him today? to experience Christmas the way it should be experienced? Or do you want it just to be another day off? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that you have covered me so many times with your peace. Times where I was at the end of my rope. I didn't have a clue what was going to be next. And all I knew was to tie a knot and hang on and know that you're in charge. God, you've always been faithful. And so today, God, I know that there are people in this room hanging on to the end of that rope. So God, I pray today that their hearts would be open to you. I pray that their situations would be available to you for them to let go and know that you're the one who can deal with it. God, that there are people here who recognize that you are the one that came for them because they know they're sick. God, that they know that you are the mighty God, that they need to know that you're in charge. They need to know that you're there. So God, may you just continue to show yourself faithful. We know that you will. God, that they need to know that they, whether their heavenly father or their earthly father loved them or not, that God, their heavenly father loves them enough to die for them. And God, today there are people that need to experience your peace. So God, I pray in this room that there would be decisions made to experience you for who you really are. God, whether that's for salvation or whether it's just to come back home and to put things into your hands and to come back under that umbrella.